sleep.
Finally. Just gonna load this CD. They're gonna love this. Loading CD-ROM into Windows.
Type device equals C:\DOS.
Wait. Okay. Where do I find that?
Where do you find what? Type edit A:\.
Edit a colon?
No, edit A:.
A:.
The letter A.
You do not have enough conventional memory free. There are 27 callers ahead of us.
If you're looking for a multimedia computer that actually works...
Maybe we got the wrong installation program.
Maybe we got the wrong computer.
There's really only one way to go.
Did you save the receipt?
The best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Join me today. Santa says he's not even checking the list this year because he knows that he's not going to be on it. Leander Caney's here.
It's been like that for years, Erfan. My birthday, too.
Just flies right over. Rudolph takes a dump and lands on your roof.
Is that what it was? I wonder what it was.
San Francisco's a free fire zone with the poop, man.
Yeah, it could have come from many sources, actually, so there's no way you would have known. Also with us, he's like one of Santa's chipper little elves, and I heard from a source that he's a sight to see in those green tights. Lewis Wallace is here!
Yeah, I got these great little red booties, too. They look just the little bells on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. I heard you go to the mall and just cruise the mall walking around in that outfit. And people are like, oh, are you here at the Santa thing? And you're like, huh? What? No?
What are you talking about?
is that your elf voice? It's actually pretty good.
Hey there.
And that's when security comes to escort him off the premises. All right. Well, let's see here. We have a show for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about all sorts of great Apple news, and we're going to be wrapping up with a segment that we're going to be doing all month long. This is our best picks of the year. This is going to be great. We're going to be talking about all of our favorite gadgets, tech, movies, shows. We're going to be doing this a little differently. Normally, we do these picks of the year by category, right? So we'll do one for movies, we'll do one for TV, one for gadgets. And this year, we're just going to have a free-for-all. Every week, we all just get to bring our favorite stuff from the whole year. It can be a show, it can be a piece of gadget. And this will be nice because if you want, you can pick the same category of stuff each week. You're not going to be constrained to just having a movie on movie week, which I was saying before the show, is going to be good because I don't even know how many movies I saw this year. I saw way more TV shows this year than I saw movies. And last year, I think I saw no TV shows and almost entirely movies. So, you know, we grow, we change, life changes. It's a circular process, namaste and all that good stuff. So we're going to be going with the flow, circular this year. We're also going to be talking about some really hotly anticipated tech that looks like it might be coming to the MacBook Pro in 2020. This is something that we've talked about before. It's something I can't wait for, so we'll be diving into the details on that. And I got my hands on the brand new 16-inch MacBook Pro. I spec this thing out. It's a real beauty. And I thought maybe I could just give my thoughts. I've been using it for, I don't know, a week now, a week and a half. I've edited a bunch of stuff on it. So I kind of have a impression on how it's performing, how it's doing. And it's interesting. It's a much different machine than I was expecting in several regards. And so we'll talk about that. And Leander, I don't mean to put you on the spot here because I probably should have mentioned this before this moment. But I thought we could talk about truly the end of an era, which is Johnny Ive's removal from the Apple website. He's gone. He's done.
It's real gone. Now.
It's officially official. So I thought maybe we could just pay our respects and talk about just a little bit what this might mean for Apple going forward. And I don't know, maybe you could just give some beautiful soliloquy about his 30 years of service to the cause. And then we can move on to best picks of the year. Does that sound good?
Okay, sure.
Fantastic. Okay, let's see here. Before we do that, let me give a very hearty thank you to Netgear for supporting this episode. Is your Wi-Fi feeling old? Does it buffer while you're streaming? Does connecting to new devices slow it down? Can it handle gaming, video calls, large file transfers, and all at once? It doesn't matter how fast your internet connection is. If your Wi-Fi router is old and outdated, with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear, your Wi-Fi will feel new again. And not just new, speedy. You're going to have beautiful coverage all throughout your home. You're going to have more bars everywhere you go. It's going to change the way you live. And I know you're thinking to yourself, he's just being campy. I can't believe that. It's really true, especially with a mesh Wi-Fi routing system. You won't believe the difference it makes. And Orbi is the best system that you can get. It's extremely fast. It's tri-band, which is the good. It's the good stuff. It has the extra band so the units can communicate with each other. Plus, you can do Ethernet backhaul with the Orbi, which allows you to connect your units via Ethernet if you have that available, which means that you basically have, instead of having a wireless connection from your computer and then a wireless connection from your router to the other routers, you have a wireless connection to your router from your computer, and then the router is connected via Ethernet to your other router. So it speeds up the process dramatically. In fact, it's the same setup I have on my compound, the Colt Command compound, and it works very well. Plus, it supports Wi-Fi 6. Wi-Fi 6 is the latest tech that allows more devices to connect and stream simultaneously without impacting speed or reliability. The result is faster Wi-Fi for all your devices everywhere in your home. You can stream in HD, 4K, or even the rumored 8K without buffering. Eliminate lag while gaming and connect more devices to your Wi-Fi than ever before. And if you've streamed in 8K before, please reach out to me and tell me what on earth you're doing in 8K, because I've never even seen 8K content. So that's how future-proof you're going to be. Orbi Wi-Fi 6 is like upgrading your Wi-Fi to first class. You're going to be wearing a tuxedo. You're going to be getting champagne service, eating the finest seafood. You're going to be feeling real good about yourself. All your guests are going to be impressed. If you are ready for the best Wi-Fi ever, you can get it from Netgear and never worry about Wi-Fi again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. That's netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. And thank you to Netgear for supporting this episode. Okay, let's start with Black Friday deals. I don't want to go on too long about this, but we just had Black Friday. I was an absolute Eros the entire week. I was feeling so good. I was telling the guys, you know how you feel like you're on cloud 9? Well, that was 3 or 4 levels below my cloud. I was on cloud 13. That's how good I was feeling. All these deals were rolling in, and this was a great Black Friday season. We had some great deals going on. I mean, I was picking out all sorts of choice tidbits, and I was like, someone's got to stop me because this is getting out of control. But some of these prices are too good to pass up. I was buying stuff that normally I probably wouldn't even buy because the prices were so good. You know,
isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, you're actually saving yourself money, right?
Like a horrible orgy of unnecessary consumerism.
Are there any orgies that are horrible? None that I've been
So what did you end up getting? How much?
Oh, you know, honestly, I probably couldn't even enumerate all the items that I got because I got so much stuff. I have a short list. I'll just go through some of the stuff. I got I got some motor oil for my car, because it was super cheap.
What?
Yeah, motor oil. Man, Amazon.
That's not much of a Black Friday thing.
Oh, you know what? Black gold comes in a bottle. I got some PC computer components. So many of you who listen to the show may not know, I actually am kind of a PC enthusiast too. I've been building PCs for many, many years, and I like to bling them out, put all sorts of RGB lights in them and stuff. I'm building a new gaming PC. In fact, geez, long story. I've had the components for a while. I just haven't had time to put it together. And I needed a M.2 SSD drive, so I got myself one of those and some other PC components. Check this out. I got some AirPods 2 with the wireless charging case. Do you know how much those are full price, Lewis?
$199.
Wow, you know. I'm impressed. Guess how much I got them for.
$156.
With tax included, $129.
Nice.
On Amazon. smoking hot deal.
Brand new, not like plucked from the ears of an unsuspecting show.
Well, I don't believe they've been in anyone's ears, but they were a Amazon damaged box item. So technically brand new, but I suppose the person could have worn them. But I'm waiting to get them. They get here tomorrow. But even if they were put in someone's ears, unless their ears were like, well, unless their ears were like LKs, I'm still probably
going to look more carefully for earwax.
Yeah, my daughter Nadine was saying that her brother borrowed her earbuds, and not only were the earbuds, the AirPods themselves covered in wax, but so was the case too.
How do you clean that out of the case?
I don't know. I was like, what?
Seems dangerous.
I think he's using his AirPods wrong. Yeah. Well, I'll have you know, my ears are impeccably clean. I put like
yeah, but what about
so
the guy you bought them from, right?
Well, let's hope he was as anal about his ear health as I am. So, but if they come with any weird earwax or anything on them, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and exchange those ones. But, you know, it's funny. Amazon's so great. I got a used pair of or a used motherboard once, and I got it, and it was clearly like whoever owned this thing was a complete slob. It had like I don't even know what was on it. It had like smears of stuff all over it. And so I asked them to return it, and they just gave me a brand new one. So I know they're going to take care of me if I have any problems.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I got a rechargeable jump start pack for an automobile. You know, like those little lithium ion battery banks that you can also use to jump start your cars.
Yeah,
have always wanted one of those. I got some other accessories like Thunderbolt 3 cables and stuff. And I was just going wild. I mean, there's other stuff on here too, but I don't know.
How much stuff did you buy then?
I don't know. I honestly
like a dozen
have no
things,
idea.
Maybe more.
I'd probably say maybe. Yeah, I'd say half a dozen, six or seven things. And I was reading that this is one of the most lucrative Black Fridays they've had in a long time. People were just buying like crazy. Oh, the best part. I'll stop right here. But so on Thursday or Friday, I went inside and it sounded like my clothes washer had that beast in it from Star Wars that Luke is riding, you know, what's that thing called? The Tauntaun? Yeah. Right before it died, it went right before it collapsed and died in that scene on Hoth, Planet Hoth in the snow. That's the sound that my washer was making. I come in and I hear, and I was like telling my wife, that is not a good sound. That is not a good sound. But it's still working. And so I was just praying, please, God, if this thing is going to die, let it die now, because this is the perfect time to buy a new washer and dryer. You know, it's the best time of the year to have to buy any kind of appliances. And my prayer was answered on Saturday, I think. Saturday. My wife says, I think the washer is not working. I was like, what? And I go over there, and it won't drain. And it starts flashing all these error codes. And this washer is like 12 years old. It came with the house that we moved into. And
you never liked it, I take it.
Well, I don't mind it, but it was leaking, and it was growing mold and stuff inside of it. And it was having small little issues, but I never wanted to replace it because, well, it still worked, right? And now it was officially broken. So I started researching, should I repair this thing? And then it occurred to me, no, it's 12 years old. You don't repair a 12-year-old washer. So
I did. So did Lewis's wife, right, Lewis?
Really?
Yes.
A dryer, yeah.
Oh, a dryer I probably would repair, because dryers last forever. But washers, you know, they have a lot more moving parts, and they have water in them. And this one was already leaking, so there were a lot of reasons to just chuck it. So I got a smoking hot deal on a pretty little dark gray washer and dryer set that's coming probably next time, the next 2 weeks. I got the hookup from Costco. So that was kind of like my
big purchase.
Is this
all Wi-Fi connected? Does it tweet out your tweet and all that kind of stuff?
It doesn't tweet, but it is Wi-Fi connected, actually. And I was talking to my wife.
Is he going
to
tell you when it's done?
That was exactly my question. Actually, it will do that. It will notify you when your laundry is done. But other than that, I was trying to come up with a use case. Like, what possible reason would you ever want to have Wi-Fi in a washer and dryer? I can't think of one. And she was trying to tell me, well, maybe you want to start your laundry an hour after you put it in the washing machine. I'm like, yeah, but when you put your clothes in, you just boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, right? You just set the settings right there. You don't leave and then set the settings from your phone a half hour later. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know what Wi-Fi is good for, but I guess it will send you a text or something or notification when your laundry's done. So that's helpful. But they got to build in some type of gimmick to get you to buy it. But this the dryer has a steam function.
Ooh.
So, you know, like if you have a shirt that's real wrinkly, you can toss it in there and turn the steam function on. It will steam your shirt. And when you get it out, all the wrinkles are gone. So you don't have to iron it.
That sounds nice.
Well, you can do that with a you can do that with a lot of dryers anyway, can't you?
Well, my dryer is just dry heat. It's a dry heat.
I just put them in the shower when I get when I take a like you know next to the shower so that the steam
wear them
from
in
the shower,
does
that? No. You hang them on a coat hook, you know, and then when you take a shower,
doesn't work all that well though.
You sort of
I mean, it works
it,
all
like,
right. It's better than nothing.
It works
but...
okay. I mean, you know, when you're kind of scruffy looking as I am, it's a definite improvement.
I need a higher level of wrinkle removal than
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it in the dryer with the steam, it actually de-wrinkles.
It kind of works.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
I think that pretty much actually describes it perfectly. It kind of works.
Better than
okay, enough about me. Did you guys do anything?
Yeah,
or
Lewis,
did you
get anything?
You know, I was going to say that I didn't buy a single thing. I actually went and looked at a couple of websites. You know, the one thing I got was like 8 million emails saying, Black Friday sale, you know, ends today. And then the very next day from the very same person, extended. I was getting so fed up with the whole goddamn Black Friday nightmare. It's just on and on and on and on and on. So I didn't actually buy anything online, but until I went to a shoe store over the weekend, you know, my wife Suzanne had to return some stuff to a store. So we actually went out and she goes, let's go on Friday. I'm like, what? It's Black Friday. Are you serious? You're going to go return some crap? She's like, yeah, nobody will be out there and they'll be buying stuff anyway. They won't be returning stuff. I'm like, all right, well, we'll see. And sure enough, it wasn't even that crowded. It was just like kind of a normal weekend crowd, whatever. Yeah, it was not that bad in San Francisco. And the one thing we did was go to a shoe store. I looked at some shoes. I saw a brand I'd never heard of. And they wanted to charge me full price. I said, well, I have to think about it. And went home
full
and bought
price
it
on Black Friday
from the person. So I did the absolute worst thing you can do. Sorry, brick and mortar.
Did you buy online from them or from someone else?
Somebody else, of course. I bought it directly from the manufacturer, and, you know, a lot cheaper. It wasn't the exact same shoe. I mean, to be fair, it was not the exact same shoe. So, anyway, and who knows? I'll probably end up taking them back anyways. Every time I buy shoes online, they never fit, which is actually that's what I was returning on Friday was shoes I bought online. So,
because they didn't fit.
Yeah. Every time I do it, I say I'm never doing this again. And then I get another big sale email from Nordstrom Rack, and I buy two more pairs of shoes, and I take two more pairs of shoes back to Nordstrom Rack.
Well, at least it's easy to take stuff back there.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I love Nordstrom Rack, but I just, you know, buying shoes online is kind of a sucker's deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my big excitement. I bought some shoes online. Yeah, I agree.
Fantastic.
And yet I continue.
Well, that's a good purchase. What's that, Lewis?
I said, you know, yeah, I did the one thing I never do, and we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Have you ever heard of this brand of shoes, Johnston & Murphy? You ever heard of this?
No. I have not. It sounds like a great buddy cop movie.
Well,
Murphy's a monkey or something, or a dog.
I never heard of this company. They're headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. They were founded in 1850 in Newark, New Jersey, and... you know, here's the amazing thing. They have a store in downtown San Francisco, right? Like it must be like right by the Apple Store. It's right in Union Square, right on Post Street. I've never even noticed it.
You get some pixie boots?
Yeah, right.
With bells on them?
Waterproof pixie boots.
What did you get? What are they? What kind of shoes are they?
Well, they make these waterproof sort of gym shoe, hiking boot type things. And
waterproof gym shoes.
Well, you know, they're like,
what kind of gym are you going to?
Well, you know, they're not, they're like, I don't know what you call them these days, man. They're like sneakers, right? I mean, they look like tennis shoes, but they're waterproof. And and they got a lot of padding and support, you know? So, I don't know. I was just kind of excited about the, I like the way they feel, the first pair I tried. So we'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'll take them back. I'm just kind of amazed sometimes. It's like, oh, here's this company that's been around for 150 years, over that. Never heard of it in my life. They actually have a flagship store in San Francisco that I must have walked by a dozen times. And it never even registered because there's just so much noise and, you know, so much poop and garbage that you're trying not to step on. But isn't that crazy? Yeah,
right.
It's crazy. I've never heard of that company. We'll find out. I don't even know if their shoes are any good. I've never owned a pair. We'll see. Or I'll see.
Wild.
Nobody else will.
Well, you're kind of you're a bit of a shoe aficionado anyway, right? Don't you have like lots of pairs of shoes?
I do kind of have a shoe problem. I love shoes.
You have a shoe problem?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that about you.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got dozens of pairs, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't know about dozens. Yeah, probably, actually. Yeah. I got a lot of waterproof ones because, you know, I ride the scooter and I don't like to get my feet wet and I like
you
to go to Europe and walk around for 8 miles. So I don't like shoes that are uncomfortable. And so I have a bunch of shoes that are kind of semi-comfortable and kind of not that great anymore. And I'm reluctant to throw them away because I can still wear them if I need to paint something.
Because that's
you know,
still good.
I'm a hoarder,
yeah.
A hoarder with a shoe problem.
Shoe hoarder?
Yeah.
I kind of have a little shoe thing myself, quite honestly.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got a thing for New Balance shoes. I got, like, I'll buy a pair, and my wife thinks this is hilarious. She probably secretly hates it. I'll buy a pair and then just leave it in the box for 6 to 8 months until my current pair wears out, and then I'll switch, and then I'll have a new pair. But my problem is I don't like to have multiple pairs going at one time. So I just looked yesterday, and I have 3 or 4 boxes of New Balance that are in the queue waiting to go on my feet.
Wow.
And they're just sitting there in the box.
And your wife finds it amusing and not infuriating?
Well, I keep them tucked away, you know. And I don't make a big announcement every time I get a new pair of shoes. I just kind of leave in the box, tuck away in the closet, you know.
Secret the back of the cupboard.
Yeah. I say, oh my gosh, what's that outside? And when they look, I scurry to the bedroom with my box of shoes and I go hide them in the closet. But I've got some real hot ones coming up. I mean,
do you have that Steve Jobs? Are they the Steve Jobs ones?
No, he wore the worst New Balance. I wear the New Balance Classics. So they have a much more hipster look and feel to them. They got great color schemes and stuff. He wore the athletic kind, which I don't really like that much. I like the kind that are more fashionable, if you will.
I bet he had a closet full of New Balance shoes, too. Because you remember He used to buy those turtlenecks at 50 a pop, you know, 50.
I was just going to say they're probably all the exact same pair.
All lined up perfectly.
You know? Exactly.
So do you also find it impossible to throw away a pair of shoes?
Yes, I do.
Me too. I know exactly what you're saying, yeah. Even when they're really worn out.
The sole almost has to completely disintegrate before I'll be able to let go of it. Even if it's like, they don't feel the same, they're not comfortable anymore, I still can't throw them away.
I was going to say, you know, even when the sole comes off, I'll go get them repaired. You know, like I took a pair down to the cobbler here, you know, and had them repaired.
Well, it's like the same price as a pair of shoes.
Yeah, well, they're good, you know, because the leather uppers last forever. And in fact, they're at their best when they're worn in, so I'm so reluctant to throw them away when the soles are worn out. You just get them resold.
What brand of shoes?
I know,
is
but
that?
How much does it cost to get them resold?
I think it was $50. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the price of a brand new pair of shoes.
You're not buying the right shoes.
Well, I liked them because they're actually good soles. They've, you know, he used these Vibram. I can't remember what they're called now, but you know, they're sort of big. They're big, you know, they're really long-lasting soles. It glues them on, does a really, really good job.
Are they like those waffle soles?
Yeah, these are like big, chunky soles because they're in a pair of Clark's boots. And I think they actually look better with those new soles than they did with the original soles.
All right, Leander, real quick, did you get any deals? Because we've been talking about this for 30 minutes.
Like Lewis, I didn't really buy anything. Actually, but, you know, I got 2 things. But like you, I was also looking. I was kept on looking around and looking at all the deal sites and watching, you know, the stuff that was going through our site. I have a feed set up, you know, of deals, and tend to check that a lot. But you know, I don't know. It just was like, I was looking for some Christmas presents. Like, there's nothing I want personally. And I find it kind of like, I just, the whole thing, the whole orgy of consumerism, you know, kind of made me feel kind of slightly ill. And you don't want to really buy anything for yourself. The one thing I was looking for, though, was a TV. Like, you can get these 4K TVs now for like $200. Mm-hmm. I was kind of tempted by that. But, like, you know, I don't need another TV, to be honest. And I don't want to upgrade. And all the ones I've got are perfectly fine. So, by way of coincidence, though, I did go to a shoe store, just like Lewis, because my mom got me a gift certificate for a pair of Allbirds.
Oh, you heard nice. Of those? I'm curious about these.
Yeah, so these are like the hottest thing in Silicon Valley right
now. Allbirds?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm looking this up.
And they're made out of wool. They have a wool topper, which is treated to make them waterproof. And they actually they've actually just started a new line too, which is made out of cellulose, I think. It's wood fiber that is turned into you know, some kind of fabric.
Just don't get them wet. Whatever you do, don't get them wet.
Well, I think they have all the benefits of wool. Like, your feet don't sweat and stink. Uh-huh. And like I said, it can be treated, so they I think it has a waterproof coating on it, so they don't get wet. And so I went to I was by the store, so I popped in to get a pair, and had a hard time choosing. Like, they've only got like 4 or 5 different styles, but I still couldn't decide which ones to get. But I ended up getting a pair of what are they called? I've forgotten the name now. Moshes or something like that. They're actually rain boots, or they're supposed to be, you know, suitable for the rain. And they're super comfortable. They're really nice.
Okay, well, this segment, which I thought would last 5 minutes, has gone on for almost the entire length of the show. So let's try to power through all the rest of this stuff before we have to wrap up here. Lewis, let's talk a little bit about the new MacBook Pro upcoming next year and some of this sweet micro LED technology that's coming to the screen, potentially.
Yeah. This latest, greatest rumor comes from the font of all Apple rumors, Ming-Chi Kuo. He says that Apple's long interest in mini LED technology could come to fruition in late 2020. Both a MacBook Pro and an iPad Pro with this new type of screen are in development. Right now, the best picture quality that you can get is OLED, OLED, which is, you know, what you get in the iPhone 11, right? That's composed of tiny organic self-illuminating pixels, has the best contrast ratio and color quality available today, but it's not very bright, suffers from burn-in, and the quality degrades over time, unfortunately.
Hey, Lewis. It's the iPhone 11 Pro that has the OLED.
Oh, damn,
the iPhone 11 has
LCD. I am so sorry. I
get it right.
The Pro and the Pro Max. Right. The other one's the LCD, the 11.
Don't want to throw anyone off. Now, I think our listeners probably already all know that, but just in case.
Yeah, thanks. I really thank God you're on your toes, you know.
I wasn't snoozing on you. I was paying attention. And I also wanted to mention that I'm real excited about this. This is going to be a huge development for the MacBook Pro. LCD has been around forever, right? And the problem with LCD is because it has to be backlit, whereas OLED, each pixel is tiny and self-illuminating, which means they can be turned off entirely. And so you get really great contrast ratio with OLEDs. And that really is most apparent when you have something that's really bright on the screen against a black or a dark backdrop, because the black will be completely black. Whereas on an LCD, because it has a backlight, there's light coming through that blackness, so you get like a gray color, or you don't get deep, dark colors as much as you do on OLEDs. But with OLEDs, you have burn-in, as you mentioned, but they also are just not very bright, and they degrade over time. So the color accuracy or the color, the quality of the color changes over time. So if you have micro LEDs, right, you get the best of both worlds. You have all these tiny, tiny little LEDs that are self-illuminating, and because they're so small, they can be expertly controlled, and you don't have that that light bleed that's coming in through the back, because they're LED and not LCD that needs a backlight. So this is going to be a huge development, and you also won't get burn-in, of course. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds blended into one technology. And of course, this would be a huge development for MacBook Pro. They need something big next year. They just came out with this model, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, with the keyboard. And so what are they going to do next year? I think it's time for a redesign, a total redesign.
Well,
with maybe a new screen.
Kuo is saying that the iPad's probably going to get this, or probably the iPad Pro is probably going to get this first, maybe middle of next year. And I think he was saying that the MacBook Pro might have to wait till 2021. Sorry. Don't get too excited about it.
I would actually be fine with that. You know, screw all the rest of you guys. I just got a MacBook Pro, and I don't want to have a hardware envy.
I am jealous.
2020.
I've got to admit.
So 2021 would be fine, because then I could upgrade my models. But real quick on this MacBook Pro, this 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Here comes the jealous.
Ooh, baby. I really like it a lot. I have to admit. So I'll just touch on some of the high-level stuff, right? The first thing I noticed getting out of the box is it is noticeably heavier. Noticeably heavier. Right. It's only a third of a pound heavier than the previous MacBook Pro, but then you put them side by side, and it looks like it's almost twice as thick. Now, it's not twice as thick. I don't know exactly how much thicker it is because I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but it's noticeably thicker. It actually reminds me of a MacBook Pro from 2012, like my old trusty MacBook Pro. She's a thick girl. And
big boned.
I don't... Sorry, big boned is the more PC way of putting that. And you know what? I don't even mind at all. Because I know that they made it thicker to make the cooling solution better and to add in the new keyboard. So it is a little heavier, it's a little thicker, but I don't mind it. And the new keyboard, it's so much better than the butterfly keyboard. It has way more movement when you actually touch the keys. They move. They have a much better bounce. You don't feel like you're typing on glass anymore, Lewis.
Excellent.
That sensation is totally gone. It just feels dialed in. It feels the way you want a keyboard to feel. It makes you feel good about yourself. You're going to feel like a man again typing on this keyboard.
Sounds like you just sit there caressing the thing going, oh, yeah. Oh.
Wait a second. Did you hack into my security camera in here? how did you know that? How did you know that? Well, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, it feels great. Now, I will say it's not the best keyboard I've ever typed on, but it feels real darn good. I'd probably give it like a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10. And that's very clearly one of the best parts about this MacBook Pro. I also really love the extra screen real estate, and it does make a difference when you're using Logic or Final Cut Pro and you need as much screen real estate as possible, especially with Logic, because I felt like with the previous generation MacBook Pro, the screen was just a little too small for me to comfortably edit on the screen without having an external monitor. And this one, I feel like it's great. It has all the real estate that I need. Would you want more? Of course, you always want more, but it has as much as you need to get the job done. And so that's also another great feature of the MacBook Pro. The other thing I'll mention, and probably the last thing, is I went from a 6-core to an 8-core model, and that has also made an enormous difference. When you're in Final Cut Pro, when you're in Logic, and you're doing exporting or rendering or anything, you have two extra cores doing work for you. It's like going from a V6 to a V8 in a car, which can be a dramatic difference. So you get that extra horsepower, which is much appreciated and definitely noticeable in this machine. And then, of course, the new GPU. I haven't edited it on it enough to really give an experienced viewpoint on how it's benefiting me in my editing process. But I will say the computer obviously feels much snappier. It's more responsive. Final Cut Pro is exporting and rendering things faster, as you would expect. So I'm really happy with it so far. It's the only thing it's missing. This could have been the perfect MacBook Pro. The only thing that it's missing. Well, there's two things. Well, there's three things.
Keep going.
As long as we're coming up with a dream scenario, okay? I bet you can. Why don't you try to name them? What are the three things?
SD card slot.
Boom.
MagSafe.
Boom.
Let's see. Number three. I don't
what
know.
What do I always complain about, Lewis?
Regular USB.
Boom!
Lewis, that was a real mind meld.
You're like a Vulcan. you did the Vulcan mind meld with me, and you pulled my thoughts right out of my brain. Yes, those are the three things. MagSafe, which is one of the best inventions ever on a computer. USB-A, which would make this computer way more functional, practically functional than it is. And, of course, an SD card slot, which I don't know why this computer doesn't have. Phil Schiller made a huge mistake in that regard. Those are the only three things it's missing. Other than that, I absolutely love this machine. And those are my thoughts on, well, that's all I have to say about the...
What about the touch bar?
And the touch bar continues to be about as useful as it was before.
Okay.
So, not. Oh, and the escape key. Having the escape key, key there is also very handy because it's just always there. So you don't have to go into some touch bar contextual menu to get back to the escape key, which is it makes life, it's one of those little things that makes life easier. Okay, look, Leander, let's skip over this Johnny Ive story. We just don't have time. Let's just move right into our best picks of the year, or our best of the year picks, I should say. All of our favorite stuff from the year. Before we do that, do you want to just give a quick plug for the Cult of Mac book? I saw an ad for it on Cult of Mac. Boy, one of the things that we didn't emphasize when we were talking about this last week is it looks like an actual computer. It looks like a MacBook Pro, yeah. And when you open it, the inside looks like a screen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the first page looks like a keyboard. Just a lot of really wonderful attention to design. It's a very cool coffee table
That's
book.
Right.
It's going to look cool sitting there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. We didn't mention that. That's, anyway.
I think we did, but we didn't really go into all the little nitty-gritty. I don't remember
it really
if we
does
did
look
or
like
not.
A,
so I wanted to
like it. A MacBook. You know, it's got like an aluminum MacBook. And like you said, you open it up, and it has a like the screen that the inside... of the flap, the jacket is the screen, and then the first page is like a keyboard. So if you open up sideways, yeah, it looks just like a MacBook, and it is beautifully done. The guy, the designer Derek E, he won a, you know, he wins awards, independent book design awards, he just goes to town. He really really loves doing this project. He's a total Mac and Apple fan himself. And he really has like a superb eye for detail, and all the layouts in it are just really, really gorgeous. And the photography is absolutely fantastic. It really turned out to be a great, great book. The publisher is so excited about it. Like he's really, really over the moon, really thinks it's a great, great book. And, I think so too. You know, it's a lovely, lovely looking book. It's actually a great, great book for it sounds like a really shameless plug, but it is a good book for a gift, I think for Christmas. And it's going to be in stores like in the middle of the month, like the 17th, I think it officially hits. So it only gives us like a week, unfortunately, for someone to pick it up. But if you pre-order it on Amazon, you should be able to get it in time for the holidays. And like I said, yeah, I think it's a good, good gift for someone, you know, for the Apple fan in your life.
And it's Cult of Mac 2.0 is the official title, right? Yep. So and we'll include a link to it in the show notes so people can check it out.
It's not really the title.
The Cult of Mac 2.0? What's it called?
The Cult of Mac, second edition.
Oh.
And Dave was last week, Dave was saying 2E. I don't ever see a reference to that on the publisher website or even in the book itself. So I don't know.
That's in our minds.
Second edition. And it's
stuck in a...
That was a secret, and you just blew it for all of us.
Oh, come on. Yeah, spoiler alert, the title is...
Well, it's too late. The secret's out now.
The one thing
so.
That I'm not 100% sure... did we actually go over the fact that it's not... It's like a full sequel to the original book. It's all new pictures and stories,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Yep, that's
it's,
true.
So
yep.
It's – and I mean that's one thing that's kind of weird. Giving it that name, it's like – you know, I mean my first thought was that it would just be like, you added a couple things to each chapter or something. But no, it's all new.
Yeah, it's an all new book.
Yeah, it should be called 2.0.
It's not a rehash of the old book.
That's right.
Although that would be hilarious if someone gets it and they're like, wait a second, this is just the same book with a new cover. You're like, yeah, it's the Cult of
Mac. That was the original pitch. You know, that was what the publisher originally pitched. You know, he said, you know, why don't we have just update the new book and we'll just add some new stuff. But then, you know, I looked through it. I'm like, yeah, this is out of date. That's out of date. This is out of date. You know, and then we ended up just doing a whole new book.
Just rewriting the whole book. I think that was the better way to go, honestly. Rather than just slapping a new coat of paint on it, and you're like, well, it's still the Cult of Mac, isn't it?
It should really be the Cult of Apple, but let's not quibble about that.
I think it should be the Cult of Tim at this point. You should consider that for your third book.
Okay.
In fact, maybe just make a book about the Cult of Tim, and it's just pictures of Tim, and then you can just tell stories, you know, about Tim Cook.
Okay.
How about that? I would. Yeah. You'd sell at least one copy to me.
Well, that's all that counts. Yeah. I don't care about selling out.
Your publisher would be thrilled about that.
I'd love to spend a year doing that. Yeah.
at least. Okay, look, let's move on. Let's move into our best of the year picks. Let's start with just one pick each. I was thinking maybe next week we could maybe even do two picks each or something, depending on how much time we have. But, you know, the news is going to completely die off as we get closer to Christmas. So we're going to have more time. So maybe we could devote more time to this. But for this week, let's just do one pick each. We'll kind of get everyone's appetites whet for the segment, and then we'll have more time to think of some more stuff. So is there anyone that wants to go first? Lewis, why don't you take us away with your first pick of the year, your gear of the year, or just a pick of something that you have enjoyed thoroughly this year that you want to tell people about?
All right. This is going to be just like you with the MacBook Pro. I bet you can guess what I'm going to say.
Some new darts.
You got some gold-plated darts. You mad lad, didn't you? Is that what it is? Because if it's not that, I actually have no idea what it's
okay.
Oh, maybe I thought it's your new iPad.
I didn't get a new iPad.
Oh.
It is the thing that I've enjoyed and used and thoroughly enjoyed the most, AirPods. AirPods 2 and AirPods Pro. I actually use them now on a rotating basis. Because sometimes I really want that snug like AirPods Pro thing. And in other times, I still like the AirPods, too.
Well. Look who came around to my line of thinking. Do you remember when we talked about this and I said that exact same thing? And you guys both loudly scoffed at me and said, that's what Tim Cook said.
No,
well, look at you now.
I'm on
now
the Irfan train with the two pairs of AirPods. Yeah. I still got the original AirPods sitting around here. But, they don't connect as fast as these the second generation ones do and the pros do. Uh-huh. And that's important. Once you get used to that, it's really hard to go back. And you know what? I got to admit, wearing the AirPod Pro, I use them so much that my ear got sore. And I had to switch to the AirPods 2. Yeah, I think I have like a silicone allergy or something. I don't know. I got like rug rash on my inside of my ear.
What if that's a thing?
I don't know. It's definitely a thing for me because it was.
You think it's a latex allergy?
Well, I think it's silicone, and I don't know that you can actually be allergic to that. Yeah. I think it's just friction, man. I think I had that, and maybe, you know, I haven't even gone and, like, dug out the box and tried a different size ear thing. I mean, I just used that little test, which apparently okays every size in everybody's ear unless you're Charlie and have the world's largest ear holes. So anyway, I don't know. I literally love the AirPods. I use them all the time. I carry them with me all the time. It's kind of sick. I love having them to make phone calls. I love having them to listen to podcasts all the time. I'm almost always just using one at a time. I don't actually listen to music through them that much. Mostly it's spoken stuff, you know, word stuff, and using it for...
Same here, yeah.
But it's... I love them. I don't know how I could live without them right now. If I lost them, I would go into a panic and go purchase another pair immediately. Well, actually, one pair, right? Right.
You won't be able to get them for 2 or 3 months. They're all sold out till after Christmas.
Yeah, you know, that's actually the one thing that I was kind of looking for over the weekend, because I was thinking about buying a pair of those for the wife, and... great, they're not available. Awesome. I guess I could give her mine.
I think the store, yeah, right. The store, I think the stores get them in, they get surprise shipments. And so I think you've got to kind of like keep an eye on the store.
Pop in there on a Thursday.
If you just
night.
Keep going into the store, they'll have them for sure. Okay. Yeah, right. They're prioritizing the store. You know, it's funny, the AirPods, I totally agree with you. It's the pressure for me, just having those tips in there constantly pressing into my ears. My ears, it just gives me ear fatigue. And so, and for whatever reason, yes, it's a physical, that pressing into my ear, they just get tired of that. And I mean, that's what they're meant to do, too. They're meant to seal off your ears. They're sound isolating earphones, right? So that's kind of what they're built to do. And the AirPods, they just fit in my ears so perfectly. I can wear them for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I don't even know that they're in. I could probably sleep with them in. That's how comfortable they are.
Hell, I do.
So when I get... You do. You're going to wake up, and one of them is going to be gone. You're going to have accidentally swallowed it or something.
I've had plenty of scary moments. Like, oh, my God, where is it?
As in your bed somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I've had that happen before, too.
Sometimes it's like, oh, geez, you know, it's like down in between the things. Geez, you know, geez. Yeah, I've
oh, geez. Oh, hey, hold on. Hey,
frightening. A little frightening.
Okay, so the AirPods, that's a great choice. That's a great choice. And one of the best products of the year in my book.
Yeah, yeah, I got to concur, too.
I'm going to go a different direction, though. And maybe if only because this is something that I've recently got into, so it's more on my mind, and it's something that I've really been enjoying. And actually, it was a sleeper hit for me. I out of all the things I liked this year, this is not something that I thought I would like, and that is Disney Plus, the Disney Plus streaming service. It's really odd, actually. When I first heard about the concept of Disney Plus, I thought to myself, why is Disney going to have their own streaming service? They're going to pull all their content and put it into one streaming service. That doesn't make any sense. It makes more sense for them to have their content available on other platforms. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, actually, they're the originators of original content, right? I mean, everyone now is trying to make their own original content. Disney's been making content since 1937. They're the founders of that whole concept. So, if of course it makes sense for them to put all their content together. And so I subscribed to the service. I told you guys I got that great deal where I paid for 3 years up front and ended up getting the service for what turned out to be about $4.75 a month, right? So it was a really low commitment. And I thought, it's going to be good at least for kids. I have kids. Well, I'm watching it more than anybody else. There is a vast catalog of historic Disney content on there that I have enjoyed rediscovering. I mean, there's stuff one show after another, one episode of content after another that you will stumble into, and you'll remember how much you loved that content. It's all there for you to rediscover. It really makes you feel like a kid again just going through it. But then they also have their original content, which I'm also enjoying, like The Mandalorian. Sleeper hit. Never would have guessed that I would have enjoyed a Star Wars show. And I don't want to spoil anything. There's certain pieces of that show that have been really popular lately that, Leander, you watch the show, right? So you know what I'm talking about.
Watch might be a generous word for it, but yeah.
Oh, so maybe you just heard about it.
No, but I sit there suffering through it.
Of course. Oh, I should have guessed. I should have guessed, of course.
It's gotten a bit better as it's gone along. Anyway.
You think so? Yeah. I've really enjoyed it. And, It's interesting. Jon Favreau is the writer and the director. Jon Favreau also worked in the Marvel movies. Jon Favreau is an actor. He was in this movie called Swingers a long time ago, which was another good movie. He started off as an actor, and now he's kind of churned into this director and writer. And I mean, who knew that he was so capable of writing such an authentic Star Wars experience? When you watch Star Wars, it's one of the most authentic Star Wars experiences that I've had in probably 15 years. You know, a lot of the newer content is hit or miss, and some of it feels a little contrived, or they're weaving in themes that I don't really enjoy. This puts aside all the garbage, all the BS, and just gives you a pure Star Wars experience. None of the nonsense that some of the new Star Wars movies have been criticized for. And you just get to enjoy it. And also, you know what else I like about it is one of the things I noticed about this show is it shows you just enough violence for you to get the picture, but it's not overtly graphic violence. I mean, so many shows now today, because everything is just unrated, it is more graphic than it needs to be, in my opinion. Like, I don't need to see some guy get his tongue pulled out and shoved up his keister, right? That's just, it doesn't need to be that intense. Like, Game of Thrones was like going to the dentist sometimes. It was painful. And I felt like I was forcing myself just to make it through every episode. And every episode was, I came away emotionally exhausted. And with this content, it's lighthearted. It's easy to consume. You don't feel weighed down and terrible after it's over. It's just easy to watch, and I've really enjoyed that. And that's kind of what that's part of the magic that the Disney content brings to the scene. It's just not overdone in any sexual or violent ways. It's just easy
wholesome,
to consume.
Good wholesome and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of wholesome. It's good Disney fun. Like, you might see someone get shot with a blaster and, you know, that's it. But, I mean, Game of Thrones, dear Lord. I mean, it's like, geez, it's like they brought in actual Iraqi torturers and was like, what do you guys do in real life? How can we build this into our show? They're like, oh, you rip people's tongues out? That's great. Okay. Oh, then you put them up their keisters? Okay, good. Yeah, this is good stuff. They're taking notes, right? And they build that stuff into this show. And it's just sometimes doesn't it feel like it's too much? It's just too graphic. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It feels like it's just sort of
gratuitous
and it's a bummer. It doesn't make you, it's not enlightening. It's not uplifting. It's
It makes it seem more real. The violence in Mandalorian is cartoony. All these stormtroopers get shot and who cares? They don't show the reaction, you know, like, maybe they got a kid and a wife at home and where's daddy? Oh yeah, he got murdered at work today, but
no, they're clones. They don't have families.
Or whatever, you know. I mean, there's no consequences for it. I mean, the whole reason you tune into Game of Thrones is for the sex and violence. That's the whole point. But I know what you mean. Some of it is really kind of is hard to watch. Remember Rome, Lewis? That HBO show? And that was great. But do you remember I think the final episode, there was like a gladiatorial fight, right? They were fighting some...
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh, my God. And if I can't get that out of my head still. So every now and again, it pops up like in a nightmare.
You wake up in the horrors of the night thinking about it and you're sweating.
Yeah. It's really kind of unforgettable. But, you know, I don't, you know, so it depends on what you're watching, isn't it? I mean, I don't decry... I don't like really violent stuff. I never watched show Hannibal, actually, because it was too violent. But people say Hannibal was great. Do you ever watch Hannibal?
Nope.
Well, people watch Saw, too.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
so,
a good example.
I mean, there's all sorts of torture porn out there that people watch I couldn't get into.
I didn't like it. I didn't like that because it was kind of witless and stupid. The first Saw one was kind of okay. But, you know, like after, like Hostel or wherever it is, like after about seven of them and it's all the same stuff. I mean, if it's stupid, if it's got no wit, then... you know, it's just boring.
Man, those Hostel movies are... was it the Hostel movie? There was some movie I saw that I don't even know where it was, but I wasn't watching it. Someone else was watching it, and I came into the room. And it was one of the most sadistic, disgusting movie scenes that I have ever seen. It made me sick. Mm-hmm. It was this guy lying there on a table, and he was, like, screaming, of course. And then they pan down, because they're showing you this guy's torso... And there's another guy at the other end of the table eating his leg as he's lying there. And I was like, what the fudge is this? I mean, look, if I were in the government, I would be like, okay, we just need to make a list of everyone who gave this movie a 5-star rating on Netflix and just go do a search of their house. Because I guarantee you they're serial killers. If you want to know where all the serial killers are, they're all the people that gave this movie a 5-star review. They're just there. Let's just go get them, because that's how you find them. I was like, who watches this content? It's like, you know, violence just for violence's sake. Anyway, I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but I don't mind violence either. I think in some instances it's actually necessary to the story. And if you want to have a little lovemaking, hey, that's okay with me. That's fine too. But every once in a while, you want something that's a little more wholesome, and you don't want people getting thrown out off of castle roofs or something, you know? Okay, later. Why don't you take us home with your pick?
All right. Well, I was going to say the best TV show I watched all year, and you know, there's kind of a lot. There was a lot of really great TV. There's a lot of really really good stuff to watch. You know, I really enjoyed Deadwood Movie on HBO, which is the climax to the three seasons of Deadwood, you know, the Western, and that's violent as well. My God! In fact, the series, actually not so much the movie. There's a bit of violence in the movie, but some of the violence in that was some of the worst stuff I've ever seen on TV, I think. Anyway,
really,
but that's not my pick. That was just one of the things I really enjoyed, and I couldn't, you know, I had to mention it. It was like somewhere, I think it's a toss-up between Chernobyl, also an HBO, and in fact, Succession, which is also an HBO show.
I haven't heard of any of these shows.
Chernobyl was go on, Liz.
No, I should say, my second, if we were going to talk about two things, my second one was going to be Chernobyl. Yeah, I got it up on my screen right now. Okay, sorry.
It's an HBO show, you said?
Yes, a miniseries. Yeah,
miniseries. Like, I think, how many, four episodes, five episodes?
I think it was four, yeah. Four. Maybe four or five. I don't remember actually.
I thought the thing is that I thought the earlier episodes were stronger than the last episode. Like that was the reason I didn't pick as my top pick. But Succession, I think, which is a story about the story of a sort of like a Rupert Murdoch type family. This family, they run a media empire with a news service that resembles Fox News. And the premise is that the patriarch, who's played by Brian Cox, has a stroke at the beginning, and then it's all the sort of fighting within the family about who's going to take over the media empire when Papa's gone. But he recovers, and the infighting continues. And in fact, it took me like the first two or three episodes, I wasn't really that into it, and I abandoned it twice. I watched the first. I tried to get into the show at least three times, and it was only like after I'd been reading all these raves about it that I was like, okay, I'll sit down and I'll start watching it. But then as soon as I started watching it, like I got hooked about episode four, I guess, three or four, and then I was like, luckily by that point, you know, the whole thing was available on demand, and so I was watching two or three episodes a night. Or at least two episodes a night, you know, and then I was like dying to see what happened next. So it's like a total binge experience. But it's super, super clever, super funny, really cruel to these characters because they're billionaires, and it's not very sympathetic towards them. Although it is, you know, that was really the genius of it. They by the end, these characters who are really kind of deplorable become sympathetic, and there's a brilliant twist at the end of season one. That's just fantastic. I totally didn't see it coming and thought it was just great. Super, just great, great writing, great, great TV, really clever twist. And it sort of puts everything that you've seen the whole season into a whole new light, which is just great. And you end up thinking about it. I highly recommend that. Really, really great show.
I've never even heard of that
show. What
was
the name of that show again?
Succession, huh?
Succession. Yeah, Succession. Okay. And some interesting parallels there between that show and maybe your own personal life. You know, you get the media empire. You have the vast amount of family who's going to be bickering over who gets to take control of the cult of Mac empire. You're going to be laying there on the bed and the thing's going to be going boop, boop, boop. And they're going to be arguing over who gets to turn off the machine so they can inherit the vast cult of Mac fortune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think And the budget is the exact opposite. It's like, how can we not get involved with Cult of Mac and the website? I've been begging the kids to come in and do some stuff for me, but they're not interested.
That's a little bit too close to home, I see. That's why you're enjoying it. Okay, well, you know what? Let's stop there. I can't do it anymore. We've been recording for like 3.5 hours now, and... Every minute that we record is a minute that I have to go in and re-listen to the show and
relive.
You know, have some sympathy on me. Thanks again to Netgear for supporting this episode. It doesn't matter how fast your internet connection is. If your Wi-Fi is old and outdated and crusty, with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear, your Wi-Fi will feel new again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at netgear.com/best Wi-Fi, netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cultcast we have for you guys. This week, if you want to come tell us about your favorite products or your favorite shows or movies or favorite thing of the year, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Lander is at L. Keeney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I thought I'd add some Christmas cheer to the end.
Gratuitous Christmas cheer.
Gratuitous Christmas cheer. That's one thing I'm okay with.
Has the Christmas music been driving you crazy yet? I
haven't heard any yet.
Oh, I went to the dentist and they were playing the Christmas music. It was driving me bonkers.
God.
Jeez, Scrooge McDuck. Yeah, I know. You're like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the kids play at home too, you know, like, because I have to, like, get, you know, have to go suffer it at home.
Yeah, but we've been listening to it at home too. We play like the Rat Pack Christmas music. Yeah, my kids love it.
Pack? Nice. Two pack?
The Rat Pack. Oh. Yeah, and then we played Two Packs Christmas.
Christmas in the motherfucking ghetto. You pop a cap in Santa's ass.
Bang, bang, it's Christmas.
That's one of his best albums and one of Christmas's best Christmas albums. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving, by the way? A goblin good time?
Thanksgiving was good and continues to be good.
Oh, you have leftovers.
Yeah, I sure do. 20-pound turkey for two people.
Oh, it's just the two of you?
Yeah.
Man, this year was such a good Thanksgiving. The turkey was crisp. And you know what I decided? I don't like turkey at all. The only parts of the turkey that I like are the wings and the drumsticks.
Yes!
The best parts are the wing tips, those crunchy wing tips. I will snap one of those off and stab you in the neck with it. I was just
going on the other day.
Yeah?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was saying I don't like wings. Too scrawny, too grizzly, too much skin.
You don't like them.
Said a man who never ate a wing.
I know what you mean about the crunchy tips, though. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So last year, I went to a Thanksgiving, and I gasped in horror when I saw the turkey. They had boiled it. They boiled the turkey.
Boiled.
What?
And all the skin was still in the pot in, like, this gelatinous pile of goo. And then they just sliced off all the plain, skinless meat and put it on a platter. And it was the most disheartening Thanksgiving meal that I've ever experienced. It was like, I don't want to eat this dry pile of pulp. You know, it's disgusting.
Who's this?
England?
This was some of our family friends. It does sound like English food, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Leander's like, actually, his mouth is watering right now. He's like, num, num, num. sounds like Thanksgiving at home.
Well, when you...
Mommy?
Yeah, no, right. Sounds like my mother's secret recipe. Passed down from generation to generation. Since they were poor peasants in the medieval times.
Yeah,
when you said it was the most, I thought it was going to be a surprise ending there. I think, you know, because you started with a duh.
You thought it could be delicious.
I thought it was going to be duh, but you went duh, spirited.
Yeah, it was, there's no surprises. It was terrible.
Did you have to eat the thing then in front of them?
I kind of just took a little piece, you know? And then I just ate it in really small pieces. And every time they looked at me, I just like raised my eyebrows up and down. I went, I would rather have that turkey from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you know, when they cut it open and the whole thing deflates. At least that's just skin.